And so I kind of saw an opportunity. There were no comedy festivals in the city of Portland. There had never been a comedy festival in Portland. There was a festival for literally everything else, and decided, you know, why not give it a shot? I had my buddy Shane Torres be our first festival headliner. The comedy festival almost got shut down a week prior because we were doing a strip comedy, like an underwear show, and it went off with a hitch. We sold out every show, and it kind of the year after that was then we got to Doug Stanhope for our festival headliner. And then, you know, it just kind of was blossomed from there. We've got everyone from Dave Attell, Eliza Schlesinger, Maria Bamford.
Now, broadcasting live from the Podcast Palace on Park Street in beautiful and dangerous Clearwater, Florida, it's the Comedians on Cork podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Tony Godd and Pat Largo.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the Comedians Uncorked podcast with Tony Godd. My name is Pat Largo, and thanks again for tuning in. And again, great news, if you didn't hear from our last episode, we've been on Spotify since day one, but now we have video. So you do the audio and the video, and of course, all of our videos and backstage and extra curricular stuff is all on our YouTube channel. Please hit subscribe if you could. Also, we want to thank a big studio sponsor, which is Julie Drolshagen with Century 21 right here in Clearwater, Florida, for letting us use the studio when we are in studio. You can get a hold of her at 727-902-9233 or floridabeachbusiness.com.
floridabeachbusiness.com.
Julie Drolshagen, thank you so much. And again, thank you guys for tuning in on all platforms here for the Comedians Uncorked podcast. And let's not delay. I contacted this man literally yesterday because I saw something spectacular for once on social media, a great comedy festival. And I want to be honest, I don't even know if I've ever heard of this one, but it's been around for years. It's the Portland, Maine Comedy Festival, and the creator of it, Mr. Ian Stewart. Welcome, man.
All right.
Hey. Again, hey, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
Our pleasure. Is it true this has been going on since about 2016?
Yeah, 2015, 2016, I believe. I was trying to remember if this is the sixth annual or the fifth annual. We took a two-year hiatus, obviously, because of COVID.
Right.
So this is our first one back since. You know, with the 2 years behind us, the time frame is so wonky that who knows, you know.
Well, so now you came up with this. You were the creator of this, correct? Now, what made you want to start this?
So I live at the time I lived in Portland, Maine, and the comedy scene was booming. Like there was a comedy night, multiple comedy nights every night of the week at many different venues. And I was working at a venue that was like a really cool, like a theater spot, like 150 seat, two-story theater spot, really small, intimate, but like, I got to open up for like Kyle Kinane there, Brooks Wheelan, that kind of comedian, you know what I mean? Like cult following kind of guys. Yeah. And, so I kind of saw an opportunity. There were no comedy festivals, in the city of Portland. There had never been a comedy festival in Portland. There was a festival for literally everything else in the city of Portland. Like there was a friggin' like, I mean, anything you could think of, there's a festival for, but no comedy festival. And there was a huge scene. And I kind of, at the time, I was doing a lot of shows anyways as a local guy and decided, you know, why not give it a shot? I had my buddy Shane Torres be our first festival headliner. The comedy festival almost got shut down a week prior because we were doing a strip comedy, like an underwear show. And the venue was owned by very conservative people that we're very surprised by that. And but it went off with a hitch. We sold out every show, and it kind of the year after that was then we got to Doug Stanhope for our festival. And then, you know, it just kind of was blossomed from there. We've got everyone from Dave Attell, Eliza Schlesinger, Maria Bamford. We're working on some really cool people this year. But it's one of those things where like, I've been a comedy fan my entire life. So it's kind of like my opportunity to work with, you know, the people that I idolize for years, you know, and the arts community here in Portland's very supportive. So I have a lot of venues and establishments kind of backing me, thankfully. So it's been a pretty easy journey.
Wonderful. Well, that's what we like to hear. Now, you just can't gloss over an underwear show. Let's back up one moment. Let's put this in reverse. 1 second. Let me just slowly back up and look at my rear view.
Pat knows this stuff here.
This is near and dear to my heart. You know, we're in the Tampa area. We're the per capita. We have the most strip clubs in the country, in the world. But what is an underwear show? How far was it all strippage down to nothing? Can you walk us through this?
Sure. All right. So I've always been a fan of kind of, you know, having a few drinks and performing in my underwear. It's always been just fun. You know, you can't go wrong with it. And actually, at the time, I was like 27 years old and a much more svelte, good looking dude. So it was, you know, it was more of a bragging thing than it was. You know, I didn't have much of an act, but at least I didn't have like man tits like I do now, you know. So
now you got a better act.
Yeah. Now I'm going to be funny. You know,
what he didn't have for an act, he had abs, and that's beautiful.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I've always liked the comedy, the underwear show, and I had this idea called the Adam and Eve show, where every comedian was going to be completely naked except for leaves pasted over their private parts and do comedy with leaves pasted on them, right? Like Adam and Eve. And the venue found out about that and had a meltdown. I literally had to get a lawyer involved because I had so much money tied up in this. It was crazy. Like, I didn't have to, I just had a lawyer friend show up that kind of helped me deal with whatever's going on. So anyways, we delegated it down to an underwear show where all the comedians performed in their underwear, but that set it off to, we've had a show where it's a battle roast, like a roasting battle show, but it's a strip battle roast. So if you lose that joke, you got to take off a piece of clothing. We did 1 year. I don't even know if I don't know if I should talk about this, but we did a underground show at a venue I will not disclose. It was a private show, so I will say that, but it was a completely naked comedy show. But with that said, like I've performed at Skanks Fest as a naked roast battler. So I like the nudity in comedy. It's not a bad thing for me personally.
When you say, I love how you use frankly say, I love the nudity in comedy. There's really no nudity in comedy. You're the only one doing this. And for nudity. That, I say thank you. I salute you.
Ian is the nudity in comedy.
Yeah. Well, you know, so Portland, Maine is very liberal. Like, you know, it's completely legal to be a woman and walk around town topless. You can do that in Maine.
What?
So yeah, 100%. Yeah, there's a whole. You can look up topless parades in Portland, Maine. It's a thing.
I didn't realize that Maine was so like open minded and that's so cool, man.
Well, Maine's got like, it's kind of like Texas in a way where it's got like very liberal areas and very conservative areas. Wow. And there's really no middle ground. So and with that said, it's a good time all around the state. I have a good time. I perform all around the state and every place is a good time. It's just a little bit different, you know?
That's funny. Cool. Now, I think you have a significant other, right? A lovely girlfriend or wife. How does she feel about all this nudity?
So she met me as a comedian. I feel like, you know, I've had a bunch of friends that, you know, they're making it, they're on their way up and they're getting their girlfriends. And so they've got to convince their significant other that what they're doing is for the better good. She met me as a professional comedian. I was already making, this is how I was making my bread. She doesn't concern herself, I guess, with what I do. She understands that what I'm doing is crazy and it's based in entertainment, and as long as I'm bringing home rent money, I don't think she cares.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
That's cool. Now is she also involved in the festival at all, or is she kind of stay out of the way and she just let you do that?
Yeah, no, I think actually the reason that we get along so well is, so she's got a master's degree in education. She's not, if you've seen my Facebook, you know, like I am a hideous looking man. But she is gorgeous. She's an absolute bombshell. But she's also got a master's degree in education. She's got a very high-end job in education. That's the thing. It was like, we're both very driven people. I think that's what, you know, keeps us together, that and kids. But we have our own lives. And that's the other thing, too, is I think when we met each other, we wanted someone that had their own lives. So it wasn't, you know, crazy to do the amount of digging you have to do to become successful, I guess, as an adult.
Yeah. Ian, quick question. So with, and I did see a picture of your girlfriend, a very stunning woman. I know she's a teacher, I believe. Like you said, has a master's degree, incredibly intelligent, a beautiful young woman. And you looking the way you look, and I mean that in a beautiful masculine way. Oh. What's the cat? Is it just not? Is it something? Is something wrong with her? How did this happen? I'm so happy for you.
I think she's into pain and suffering for sure. I can't imagine. I will say too. I've kind of blown up on her. Like when she met me, I was also a decently attractive dude. Like definitely not at her level, but like at, you know, I was like a cool performer dude, and I was like 190 pounds, but
yeah.
At 260, I mean, oof, I can't imagine. I can't imagine how she's still with me. But
well, so when she met you, you were still able to take your shirt off.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Still, I was. Right. I mean, I was getting there, but you know, it's well. The other thing too is I got not to get serious, but I got a thyroid disease after she met me. So that just throws the weight thing completely out of whack.
That's true.
Oh man,
that's true. And I'm still enjoying this talk about the comedy festival. So you've been doing it for years. You made it sound so like simple how to put this together. What is how long this year will the festival be? Like how many days? And is it basically just all you're doing? Or you have a bunch of other help right now for the festival?
So yes, I've always had help. I've always had help in the sense of like the men and women that are helping me put together like the big stuff, like the David Tell shows, Eliza Schlesinger. I mean, there's teams of people that are kind of behind that. As far as like organizing the local guy, the local talent, the showcase talent, that in the past has really kind of fallen on me. This year, it's gotten so big that I am getting help on that aspect too.
Good.
So I will say too, is like, so this year we're Thursday, August 25th through Sunday, August 28th, I believe. And the year before COVID, we tried to do 2 full weeks, and that was absolutely insane. And I learned my lesson there. So the problem though with that is we had Eliza Schlesinger one weekend, Dave Attell the other weekend. So we had goalposts on both weekends, but to organize, I think it was like 150 other performers. It was a madhouse. So I learned my lesson, and this year it's just a single weekend.
So now with that scheduling, you were talking about the comics that are also performing besides the headliners you're bringing in.
Yep.
Now, are you, is this submissions from around the country, or is this more localized East Coast? I mean, what's the preferred, what would, if you're a comic wanting to submit, what would be your best bet if you're an East Coast guy or if you're from, you know, anywhere in the country?
No, when we did the 2 week one a few years ago, that was like the first festival, you know, it was a New England festival for the first couple of years. And then it really kind of blew up when I put submissions at a national level. And I love the idea of inviting these comedians from different parts of the United States because, I mean, Maine in the summertime is like, you know, it's the thing, you know? And so to kind of invite people up for like, you know, a little vacation in Maine in the summer and do some comedy shows. Like I had so many people from across the country, you know, after the festival be like, that was awesome. And the shows were great, but also just Maine in the summertime is pretty spectacular. It's vacation land for a reason. And so I love that. I love that I can bring in comedians from other parts of the country to experience Maine. I've traveled all over the country and I still like Maine the best, minus the winters. The winters kind of suck.
Right.
Summer in Maine, there's nothing better. And so, you know, we've had submissions all over the country again this year. I think submissions are closing on the 20th of this month.
All over
the country, and I know for a fact the people that I have doing my submissions, you know, they're looking forward to comedy from elsewhere. Because the other thing too is New England comedy, though many comedians are very different, still has kind of a patina to it. And I think the comedians from elsewhere, from other parts of the country, have different vibes, different ways of telling jokes, different ways of writing that I really enjoy putting into my comedy festival. So there is, you know, like a music festival, you're getting a mix of different genres.
Right.
Okay. And is this more competitive? of a festival, or is it more of a showcase vibe, where like an oddball type festival?
Exactly. So a showcase vibe. I also run New England's Funniest, which is held at Aura, which is one of the biggest theaters in Maine. That's a 9-week weekly, every Thursday this summer from June 30th through August 25th, which will be the Friday night headlining show for the festival, is our competition. Okay. So we do a giant competition that kind of snakes into the festival itself. And then the festival itself is a showcase of many different venues, non-traditional venues, traditional venues, of course. You know, everyone that's performing, it's between 2 and sometimes 5 different shows in that weekend, because we've got so many events going on. And then, you know, we also have the headliners. And so the idea is to bring comedy fans of all sorts into town and to kind of experience comedy on different levels, you know, in different arenas, and have a good time. It's a giant party. That's kind of the whole vibe.
And that's the cool part. I could hear just talking about that's the big party scene, like you said, Maine and the summertime. Tony, can you imagine doing a show outside here in August in Florida?
Oh man, no, that's impossible. I mean, you just don't want to do it. It's you're immediately drenched from the humidity and the heat, and that's it. You're melted.
And I've done some down here, even some of my own Comedians Uncorked shows down here. It's not pretty. I mean, it's a great show, but it's not pretty.
You have to wait until like the fall or spring to do like a rooftop show. But other than that, summertime, no.
You got to be indoors, man.
August.
And Ian, let me ask you this. And I don't think Tony did it. If he did, I apologize. For this huge event you're doing here, this 4-day event, are you going to have industry folks there to be checking out people and stuff, or how's that work?
So we always have industry people because industry is part, like this year. I can't get too much into business on the back end, but yes, industry folks. But with that said, no actual industry showcases. And that's one thing I definitely want to point out is we are not doing industry showcases, but there is quite a lot of industry around. They're a part of the festival. They're helping with the festival. They're going to be milling around in general.
They're watching. There's just no official labeled showcase.
Right. Exactly. We're not doing an industry showcase. Only because we're still, you know, even though we're in our sixth year, we are still kind of walking the line of, you know, expanding this, I suppose, if that makes sense, with another bigger venture. And so we don't want to pigeonhole ourselves into too much of that politicking yet, I guess, if that makes sense. I feel like I'm getting like weirdly behind the scenes right now, but
I completely understand what you're saying. It's like you want to get the foundation down before you start inviting people to step on it, you know.
Well, and that's I think a lot of what, you know, when you do industry showcases, you're for the most part working with a lot of very you're working basically with like one agency. So you've got a bunch of the agencies, comedians on, you know, they fill out your festival, and then you have, you know, those agents out to do the industry. I like to work with different agencies. I like working with Gersh and TAA and kind of bring whoever I want to the festival as opposed to working with one, you know, streamlined agency.
That's a lot of politics. Yeah. So I'd wait too.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is right now we are, you know, I can't say too much about it, but we're working with, you know, a very big event, a national events coordinator. So we're going to kind of see how that works out. And, you know, I don't know, you know, I've always been kind of like a redneck hippie kind of dude. So I definitely believe in like, you know, working very hard and then seeing how the cards fall at the end, you know?
Correct. No, that's cool. And I'm going to put you on the spot right now. This is a kind of a question, but it's more self-serving. And I'm going to speak for both Tony and myself. Good luck with this event. And if you do go bigger or whatever you have in your plans, good luck with that. And if we could ever get to where that is and broadcast our podcast there and maybe do some time on stage, if you don't mind, that could be a party.
Oh, hey, I'm down for any and all collaboration. I think, you know, the more people you work with that are driven, that knock out podcasts, that knock out, you know, that do comedy, those are the people you want to hang out with. So, let's do a podcast party.
It's going to be fun, man. Now,
are you guys are liquor drinkers.
How is this affecting your comedy career? Because now you do, I know you still do stand up, right? But were you doing stuff touring around the country before you started on this? Or how is this affecting your stand up act? Is this, are you totally dedicated to this thing right now year round?
No. So, I mean, the comedy festival, I'm just, you know, I like puffing the magic dragon and getting to work. I have a very hard time like sitting still. So like, I like being as busy as I am right now, and the comedy festival doesn't really affect my stand-up comedy career. That's how I make my money, as I do stand-up comedy at a regional level. I do a web series called Welcome to Maine. That's fairly popular if you're in the area. Yep. And so we do like, you know, we just sold out a 300-seater of all fans last weekend. But I mean, we do a lot of like small 150 to 300 seat theaters, but we do that all around the region, and you know, we kind of make our bread kind of doing a circuit throughout the year. So that's how I've always made my, that's how I've made a living for years at 6 or 7 years at this point. And the festival is kind of just, you know, an extension of what I'm my own manager. So to book a show is not much. And I already have the connections with a lot of these businesses and event centers and venues in Portland, because I've just been around for so long that you know, the barrier of entry of like trying to get a hold of someone is not really there for anymore. I can kind of hit up, I've got a couple of phone meetings today with you know, a bunch of owners, and I hit them up yesterday, and I think if you're starting in this game, it's kind of hard to get a meeting that quick.
Yeah, you've already met everybody, you've already been
And honestly, a lot of what that is, is, you know, going out and having a couple drinks and being friendly and being confident and, you know, making those connections. And a lot of what professional comedy is, you know, making connections. You know, I can't tell you how many times knowing the right person has been, you know, the catalyst to a good show, you know?
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah.
And you said it right there. You may want to say it again, Ian, about just going out and having a couple of drinks, not being silly, just making connections and just being yourself and having good relationships, right? Because down here, that's how we try to do it. And then, but you know, in the entertainment industry, right? You got the ones you could tell right from the first word out of their mouth, things just sound fake or they seem just a bit embellished.
Sure.
But that's the key, right? Is just be yourself. Hey man, even though you're tired, go out, have a drink with so-and-so, put the drink on your tab. Make that relationship, and next thing you know, you're able to call them, text them, email them, and then you get that thing snowballing, and you got 6 years in a row here of a great comedy festival.
No, you know, and like, I think it's important to treat everyone, you know, Dave Attell. We had Dave Attell, his opener was Ian Finance, right? And I love both of them. I have a really good relationship with Finance. I'm trying to get him up for the festival this year, all because we met backstage. And I have been in situations where I've seen other comedians get, I don't know, almost like dogs at a dog park. They get like weird about the other dogs, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But if you can high five everyone, man, that not only opens up so much opportunity for yourself, but it just opens up, you know, any pathway you would have for business. People talk kindly about you. And word of mouth is the biggest, you know, marketing tool ever. So if you're kind to everyone, from the opener to the feature to the headliner, and you get a reputation of like, oh, I like that guy, man, that makes business so much easier, you know? Right. And I can't remember where I was going with this. I apologize, guys. I'm getting on a tangent.
No, I mean, well, you got cannabis stuff on your mind there. You also write for what? Do you still write for the Maine Cannabis Chronicle?
Yep, I'm the head writer for the Maine Cannabis Chronicle. The format just changed. It was a gloss. I think it was like a 64 page gloss, something like that.
Yeah.
That we ran for multiple years. And now it's changing into like a cool fold out hippie thing. I don't know. My editor has it all planned out, but basically as the head writer, I do my own writing. And then when other writers fall out at the 2-day grace period, I got to write their articles. So that's what makes you the head writer, unfortunately.
Dude, that's awesome.
So what's the latest article, man?
Yeah.
The last article I did was Good Places to Hike Around Maine While High. And then there was another one I just had to knock. Oh, and then I had to do, we call this, it's called the 420 minutes. The idea is to spend 6 hours in an area. Maine's got a ton of pot shops where we spend, I spend 6 hours in an area and I visit like three or four different pot shops, review them, talk about them, have, you know, lunch in the area, go to like a cool record store and kind of write about my entire experience in like a page and a half, two page piece. And it's kind of like, it's like, you know, my Hunter S. Thompson, you know, crazy journey pieces. And I really enjoy doing them.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool. Like, what was the last place you went to? Where was that?
The last place I was in was in Wilton, Maine? It's like near York, I want to say. So like Southern Maine. And I went to a bunch of different pot shops, and it's funny. 75% of the pot shops will like treat you like royalty. Like literally you'll leave with a bag of stuff that, you know, will last you a whole year. And then there's other, you know, pot shops that will treat you almost like the, like they're worried about the article. So they're more guarded. And so you get like the kind of the two little, experiences. But for the most part, the cannabis community is filled with amazing people up here, and so it makes my job going around and smoking with these guys and looking at their spot, like, you know, it's a good time, a good job.
Dude, yeah, no kidding.
Now, when you were doing that one about the hiking when you're a high, did you somehow spell the word hike with H-I-G-H in it just to make that play on words?
I you know what? I didn't think of that. I possibly could have just done a typo, because I am a writer that desperately needs an editor. Like if you ever see my Facebook posts, the grammar, the spelling is awful. I'm an ideas guy, you know. Editors,
you don't got time for spelling.
No. I got too many thoughts for spelling. Yeah, fuck spelling.
Oh my god, this is great. Well, we got a few minutes left. God, I could be talking with you. I'm sure Tony can. We have a bunch of questions, man. And first off, it sounds like you are the leader of Portland, Maine. Like that's your place, man. Like everyone, you're like the president there. Like everyone knows you.
Well, no. So I am far behind the king of comedy of Maine, Bob Marley. I don't know if you guys know Bob Marley, but he is.
Yeah.
He is the king of Portland, Maine. I've been called occasionally the prince of Portland, Maine, of Maine comedy.
Okay.
I'm trying very, very hard to fill his shoes for sure. And he murders it. He is a very good example of the DIY work ethic, do it yourself. Yeah. He murders it up here. And not only that, is he good at business. He is an amazing comedian. His crowd work is second to none. He's an absolute murderer.
Yeah. Well, my God, man.
Let me ask you this before we check out of here, like, because we're talking about the festivals.
Yeah.
Now, were you doing festivals at all before this, or was this kind of like, you know what, let's do it here because there's nothing here? Or were you going out and participating as well?
So it's funny. I did a ton of pot festivals. When I was around the age I started the Portland, Maine Comedy Festival, I was doing like, you know, one after the other, these they've got a ton of different summer pot festivals here in Maine. And so before the legalization of Maine, people would go to these festival grounds, listen to like Phish cover bands and openly smoke dope. But they would, they'd always hire comedians to, you know, host. And it was always the most brutal shows. Like literally, like you want to talk about a hell gig, like people in a field that are like tripping on LSD have no interest in your dick jokes. You know what I mean? They could care less. But that inspired me because I saw what, you know, a festival entailed. I talked to stage management. I talked to the promoters. I talked to the producers. And it all seemed kind of doable to me on something that I could scale up. So that's the thing. The first comedy festival I did was very, very, very small, much, much different than what we're doing now. And it's really been a scale up as opposed to jumping head first, like, we're going to do it big. Like, and I truly believe in progressing, like taking the steps, you know what I mean? I think it's very important.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, I mean, I gotta tell you, man, you got the blueprint here. If people hear this and they will hear and see this podcast, man, that how to do this. This is it's, you know what you're doing. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
36.
Fantastic. Prime of life, already got it all figured out, man. I love it.
We're trying.
Tony, anything last second before we wrap?
Side note.
Yes.
I saw Phish in the mid-90s when I was working a small venue, 500-seater venue inside. I got, as a matter of fact, I got a backstage pass laminate. Just a little side note before they blew up crazy.
That's cool, though.
I got a Fish story for you as well, then. So John Fishman, the drummer of Fish, lives in Elliott, Maine. He's a Mainer now. So he drums. I was just – so, again, I do this web series called Welcome to Maine. I write, direct, I film it, produce it, but my character doesn't really speak. I say one word, but I play guitar. And so I just did a jam with the Mallet Brothers Band, and the Mallet Brothers Band used to tour with John Fishman. So this takes me back to meeting John Fishman, where we did way back in the day. There was a show with John Fishman, and I guest bartended the event, and someone gave me a joint as a tip. And so we're at the show's cleared out. It's me, John Fishman, a couple of the guys in his band, and like a super fan. A super fan's there with like pictures of him from last time. And so we're hanging out, and I have this joint that I was tipped. And I was like, hey, you guys want to smoke pot? And John Fishman was like, oh, man, like I haven't smoked in a while. He's like, fuck it, let's smoke some pot. I was like, sweet, I'm going to smoke pot with the drummer of Fish. So we're toking on this. It's me and him going back and forth. We're like almost all the way down. And he's looking at the joint, and he's like, yo, dude, like, what strain is this? And I was like, oh, I have no idea. Someone just gave it to me. Just gave it to me as a tip. And he looks at me, he goes, oh, shit, man, never take drugs from our fans.
And that is awesome. Dude. Ian Stewart, give us the contact info for people, how they can reach you to enter also the Portland, Maine Comedy Festival, which we're only just, it's going to be closing on April 20th for final registrations. How can people, give everyone your contact info?
For the Portland, Maine Comedy Festival, we're doing our submissions on Ticket Leap this year. I like Ticket Leap. Ticket Leap, they do a lot of good stuff. So if you just look up Portland, Maine Comedy Festival on Ticket Leap, you can find us on Facebook. Our website might be down. I have not renewed it in a while, and it's just it was a pain in the ass. It was more of a bragging thing than anyway. So anyways, check us on Facebook. Check us on Ticket Leap. You can get to me personally if you need me at delabookings@gmail.com, delabookings@gmail.com. I respond constantly. I'm going to get off this Zoom and respond to a million emails immediately. So hit me up on Gmail if you need me.
Wonderful, man. That's great. Ian Stewart, creator and everything of Portland, Maine Comedy Festival. Those dates are going to be August 25 through 28. That's Thursday through Sunday this year, 2022. I assume some great headliners as well, industry people there. And I'm going to say probably one of the best comedy festivals in the United States. So cool, man.
Oh, and then just, completely selfishly, if you like Maine-based humor, check out Welcome to Maine. It's welcometomaineshow.com. And if you like weird, niche humor, that's my project. So check that out, too.
We'll put it out there, man. You kidding me? Tony God, you good?
Yeah. We'll put the link to that in the description. So
perfect. Awesome. We'll get all the info, and we'll do that. So, again, Ian Stewart, Portland, Maine Comedy Festival. Check that out. Give him a holler if you want to register. For Tony God, my name is Pat Largo. Don't forget to check us out, the Comedians Uncorked podcast on social media, Facebook and Instagram, @ComediansUncorked. Thank you so much again, Julie Drolshagen of Century 21, right here in beautiful Clearwater, Florida, for your real estate buying and selling needs, 727-902-9233, FloridaBeachBusiness.com. All of our stuff on our YouTube channel, please click subscribe. We would love you for that. And of course, our website, ComediansUncorked.com. If you're gigging, you're winning, laugh, you deserve it. And thank you for checking out the Comedians Uncorked podcast.